Good morning and welcome to this part of our service. It's good to be here today. It's a beautiful day. It's cold out, but it's a beautiful day and the sun is shining, and I'm thankful to be here this morning. Welcome to each of you. It's good to see Matt's back. Haven't seen them, it seems like, in a long time, so it's good to have them here. And also Jonathan's in there. Jacob and Irma, right? It's good to have y'all here with us this morning. And invite you to turn to Matthew chapter number 9. I'm so thankful this morning for answered prayer. I'm thankful for a God who hears and answers our prayer, especially in relation to baby Caden and what God has done for him this week. And for Gerald and Melissa, it's truly a miracle to see that unfold. And let's just continue to pray for them and also remember to thank God for his for being the great physician and for answered prayer. Before we go into our text, I want to go to a little service possibly that happened on a church on a Wednesday night. I don't know the details that surround it, but it kind of is a springboard for what I would like and what I felt led to share this morning. The preacher got up and said, "Stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer if you have a need. Let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family and you're not alone." But that's when I saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. "I need to know before we pray, an unspoken request. Does anyone have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden? You can share a need in your life. Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear. Our God can hear an unspoken request." Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, "Sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand." When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request. Does anyone have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden? You can share a need in your life. Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear. Our God can hear an unspoken request. And that is the title this morning of the message. And in Matthew chapter 9, we want to go to a lady who came to Jesus with an unspoken request. Verse number 18, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Verse 21. For she said within herself, If I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. If we would read this account in Luke chapter 8, it would say that this lady spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. So here she was, desperate for help. Not even able to sit down with Jesus and have a talk face to face with him. And we don't know those details of why she couldn't get close to him. Probably, I think later we're going to see where there was a lot of people around him. But she said within herself, if I may but touch his clothes, if I can just simply get close enough to lay a finger at the bottom edge of his robe, maybe no one will see me. Maybe he won't even know that I'm there. For she said within herself, I shall be made whole. This morning, dear people, have you ever come to a place in life where you had many needs and no words? Your heart cry was desperate. You needed help, and help wasn't coming. And there are many different circumstances. There's many different reasons that may bring us to that place. It may be our health. Here she spent 14 years spending all of her living on a doctor that couldn't help her. And this problem was so severe that she had that it said she gave all her living. And I see every piece of spare change she had, she spent on a doctor. And I would like to take a few things out of this story this morning. Jesus had a large crowd around him. His fame was spreading fast throughout this area. The people pressed in close. You know, this was something new to have a man walking around healing people. And as I pondered this story, I thought, you know, maybe this lady never even heard of Jesus before this day. Possibly never saw him. You know, as you think about you here this morning, sitting here, you've heard about Jesus from the time you was little. We sang of his wonders our whole life. Yet often we find ourselves waiting a long time. Maybe going many different directions or many different routes till we come to the place where we press through the crowd and we reach out to Jesus with that testimony, I shall be made whole. You know, Jesus is still there to answer today. He's the only answer. And there's no place this morning you can find yourself in life where Jesus is not the answer. No need too great, no pain too deep. We also see in this story here the faith of this lady. Faith to believe, faith to act, faith to press through the crowd, and faith to just simply say within herself, no one heard her, if only I can get close enough to reach the hem of his robe. Could you imagine with me this morning the face of Jesus as he stopped, looked back, and said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Can you imagine that with me this morning? As you sit here this morning, are you a people of faith? Do we pray in faith? Do we act in faith? I believe this lady had given up on ever being healed of her problem. She had for sure given up on the doctors. They had taken all of her money, and she had wasted, we don't know how much, and it said 14 years. And I'm sure she was tempted to give up on a lot of things after year of no help, no interest, no progress. Yet we see that Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, when we find our place, we find ourselves at a place with no hope and no words at the end of our rope. We have no answers. How is your faith? How is my faith? Often I find it very weak. This was new to this lady, yet it says she had this conversation internally. Life is full of responsibilities and duties. Life is full of choices and circumstances. Those are things that you will not get around here this morning. There are many, many things in life that you and I have no control over. Does faith shine out of my life? Does faith shine out of your life? As a beacon of hope amidst all the details that we have no idea how to navigate. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And I thought of that verse as I read this story. You know, this lady diligently sought the Lord. She moved in faith, and she was made whole. Let's be a people of faith this morning. Wherever you find yourself, let's be a people of faith. Let's diligently seek God in every area of our life. Wherever you find yourself this morning, even when you don't have words, maybe you don't even know what's wrong. Maybe you're in a situation where there's no hope. Say within yourself, if I can simply touch His garment, I will be made whole. I would like to turn now, hold this reference here, I believe, but let's turn now to the account in Luke 8. Verse 45, and Jesus said, after she come up there through the crowd, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, notice this, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." How many times have you and I breathed a prayer in our hearts for someone or for something? Maybe it was in the hour of temptation when the devil was just about to grab you and you breathed a prayer in your heart. Maybe you're in the middle of a situation that's rapidly unfolding and going backwards. Maybe you breathed a prayer for words to help a hurting heart or for grace to go the second mile. And how often has God looked down and answered that prayer and we just kept right on going like we expected it? How often, when we breathe an unspoken request, that God answers it and we fall before Him and declare to all the people what He has done? You know, as I thought about this, I really struggle with this message. It's been on my heart for a long time. We're supposed to be a people that's open. We're supposed to talk about anything that's on our hearts. For sure to God. We're supposed to audibly say what we're struggling with to our brother. We're supposed to confess our sins to each other. So why would we internalize something? Well, maybe we'll talk about that on another Sunday. But as I thought about it, how many times, how many hours of the week do you pray in your heart? I find it's a lot. Breathe a prayer going down the road. Maybe you're preparing a sermon for Sunday morning and you're laying awake. Your mind goes, subconsciously, you pray. I think unspoken requests are a big part of the Christian's experience. Yet how often do we fail to fall before Jesus and declare what He has done? Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to move away from this story into another story. Second Corinthians chapter 12. We have this familiar story of Paul. Verse number 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know, God knows your heart this morning. God knows my heart this morning. And He knows what you need. He knows what I need. I don't know what Paul struggled with. I have some ideas, I have some assumptions, but I don't know. But he knew, at least in part, that whatever his problem was, it was helping to keep him from becoming exalted above measure. And we're not going to go into detail what all that means. But this thing was bad enough that he reached out to God three different times and said, and it says, besought the Lord thrice. And that gives the idea, if you look at that word in its original meaning, of begging. He reached out and he begged God. Begged God to heal him of this thorn in his flesh. Is it okay to beg God? Make it personal. But I have begged God before. I think if Paul did, we can. If it's in the right motive. A lot of times when we're this far gone, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but when we reach this point where we're on our knees and we're begging, beseeching God to help us with whatever it may be, it's past the point of a normal prayer. So like I said, I don't know what all was going on here with Paul, but it was a serious thing to him. But God told him that my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul's testimony was, most gladly therefore I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Can God say that of you this morning? Whatever you are called or allowed to go through is His strength made perfect. That was a very, very serious challenge to me as I studied this. He goes on to say, yes, he said, most gladly, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Then he goes on and he says that I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. He went from begging God to accepting what God had allowed to happen to him because he wanted to be strong. And I take that as a personal challenge to me this morning. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 14. We've read this many times. Dear people, this morning I still don't understand it. I still cannot wrap my hands around this story. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 32. Well, I guess I better get to Mark. Mark 14 and verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them sleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Here we have Jesus in this moment of agony. It says he was sore amazed and to be very heavy. And I was trying to analyze what this word meant in modern English. The meaning I come up with, or they come up with, in the Strong's, from the Greek, it says that he was struck with terror. And that he was in great distress. You know, as Jesus in his humanity tried to understand why he had to go to the cross for the sins of the world, in his humanity, he was struck with terror. The thing that I don't understand is Jesus knew that all things were possible with God. Yet he said, Not what I will, but what thou wilt. When we're struck with terror, when we're in great distress, when we cry out to God, maybe with unspoken words, are we willing to breathe, maybe unspoken words, not my will, but thy will? Can we breathe them in faith, knowing that his will is best? Turn with me now to Romans 8. Wasn't sure if I wanted to take the time to read this, but I was so moved by the words here. And please bear with me, dear people, this morning. This isn't a gloom and doom message. This is a message about reaching out to God in faith, even when the circumstances of life, even when we're struck with terror, even when things don't make any sense, and we don't know what to do, and we don't have any words. This study has really given me hope. Verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I don't know what all went through your mind as you followed down through those verses, and as you thought about the immense love that God has for us, and how that He knows what's in our hearts better than we do. He hears our need without us even saying it. In closing, I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I ask God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was giving life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. And that is author unknown. Don't have any idea who wrote that. In our humanity, we often get it backwards, what we need the most. And I, for one, was encouraged and challenged to simply lay my life in the hands of Almighty God. Simply reach out and touch the hem of His garment. Be led by Him. Be led for Him. And realize He knows my needs so much better than I do. So God bless you today. I don't know where you find yourself this morning, but I want to give you the encouragement to find yourself in Christ. He's still the answer. He'll always be the answer. Shall we stand together for prayer?